Chapter 14, Part 2, The Thread of Tao. As we said in the last chapter, the path to the original kingdom involves the application of the fivefold universal gnosis. Those who are not yet walking this path and have therefore not yet found the thread of Tao often demonstrate moral disequilibrium and mood swings due to the turbulent sea of their emotions. One moment they are cheerful, the next very miserable. One moment they are very purposeful and positive, the next they are filled with despair and feel as though they might as well give up everything. One day they are strong, the next day quite the opposite. We are all familiar with these oscillations. They characterize dialectical nature. You can read about this in the works of Chuang Tzu. They portray a pupil who is earnestly trying to make something of his life in the sense meant by our school. All day long he agonizes over how to rid himself of what torments him and to cultivate what he loves, but success eludes him. Lao Tzu says to him, "You must purify yourself completely, but I see by your sadness that something is stopping you still." He then advises, "If the hindrances from outside become too great, you must not attempt to overcome them by fighting against them, but you should shut your mind to them. If they come from within, you must not try to repress them, but rather keep yourself out of the way of temptation. If even a master in Tao and virtue is incapable of resisting these two influences in combination, how much less can one who is striving after Tao?" Happily, there are many pupils in the spiritual school who are striving after the new life. They are trying to make the essence of the gnosis into a virtue in themselves. Through the intermediary of the mystery school, such efforts always result in a link with Tao. Something of the magnetic current of the gnosis is imparted to the pupil's being. The pupil is brought close to the thread of Tao, and now he is advised to hold on to that thread so that he may possess it. Clearly, any pupil who attempts to do this will find himself in a difficult situation in which the magnetic currents of two realms are being transmitted to him, the current of the new nature and the current of the old nature of death by which the pupil lives. This results in tremendous inner conflicts. Great, unbridgeable antitheses are felt, and it cannot be otherwise. If someone is fundamentally of the darkness and he is placed in the light, he will feel terrible. His own darkness will be revealed to him more than ever before. In addition, his microcosm, in which he is the current personality, has an immeasurably long past in the world of time and space, and his blood and his soul are conditioned by that past. So there is total equilibrium between the past and the present, and together they determine his future. This natural process, and it is nothing more than that, conditions one's whole life and character, and is experienced by the pupil as darkness, as a great burden, as temptations that hinder his pupilship. He starts talking about the devil or about being influenced by the reflection sphere and so on. But you need to realize that such influences are always side effects and never first causes. In reality, the dialectical influences affecting the personality from outside originate from the other parts of the microcosm, while the influences affecting the personality from within originate in the blood. These are the temptations from outside and from within. Lao Tzu advises, do not fight against these natural processes and do not try to get the better of them in that way, for you will never succeed. As regards the influences from outside, he says, close your mind to them. And as regards the influences from within, his advice is to keep yourself outwardly out of the way of temptation. Do not act on these influences. You may not always be able to tell straight away whether an influence is coming from outside or from within, whether it originates in the magnetic sphere of your being or in the blood, but that won't matter. All you need to do is cultivate the following approach. As soon as you notice that a particular influence is tending to disturb the steady unfoldment of your pupilship, divert your thoughts immediately, or try to dispel the influence by engaging in some intense activity, do not give it a second's attention. If the influence arises from your blood, and all kinds of inclinations are stirring and boiling within you, just let your blood spend itself and avoid any outer action, whether in reality or in thought. If you apply this twofold method, you will notice that your strength as a pupil will constantly grow, and that you can grasp the thread of Tao more and more firmly. If you fail, and there is no reason why you should, you will find you keep on having to start all over again from the beginning, which will weaken your body, increase your burden, and make your life hell. So we hope you will take this ancient classical advice to heart